In vitro fertilization, or IVF, has revolutionized family planning. Couples or individuals struggling to become parents can turn to IVF when there don't seem to be any other options left. The procedure is costly, but that doesn't stop tens of thousands of families from undergoing the procedure each year. However, the practice is largely unregulated by the feds, and state officials here in Arizona don't regulate it either, and that is the norm across the country. Those few states that do regulate it are often lax and filled with loopholes. For more on this, I got a hold of Dr. Dove Fox, a bioethics professor at the University of San Diego and author of a book about IVF. And I asked him first what the landscape looks like now in the country when it comes to regulation of IVF facilities. Is there any?
The regulatory landscape is very sparse, both at the state and federal level, and then in other less formal ways, like professional organizations. There's no state law that tells IVF clinics how they have to perform certain procedures or what kind of safety or reliability mechanisms or protocols they're supposed to use. And the states don't have any rules about that either. Professional organizations do provide guidelines about how many embryos to implant, for example, or what are the more reliable methods of screening and testing, embryos or sperm or eggs. But those recommendations are just that. They're completely voluntary, and there's no information we have even about how routinely they are followed or ignored. There's no real teeth to them, except insofar as the organizations can say one clinic or another can't continue to be a member in good standing. But there isn't a good sense of how much that really matters.
So if an IVF facility had a really poor record or had made some catastrophic mistake at some point, no state or federal authorities would be able to go in and shut them down?
So at the federal level, it would be the Food and Drug Administration. But the only federal law that is relevant, a 1992 law, which asks these clinics to provide information about success rates, explicitly carves out IVF clinics in terms of their practices and procedures, says that the FDA doesn't have authority to tell them what to do.
So how does this compare then to other countries where things like this are pretty heavily regulated? What do those regulations look like there?
So some other countries, most developed ones, take assisted reproduction a lot more seriously. In the United Kingdom, there is a federal agency whose job it is to do clinic visits and provide rules and regulations about how to perform procedures safely, reliably, and they track and inform the public about how things are going. The way it works in this country, even after a catastrophic event, like these multiple embryo switches or cases in which these large freezers fail, destroying hundreds or even thousands of people's reproductive materials, is lawmakers at the state level may feel like they want to try to enact a law. And in certain limited cases that has been successful within narrow scope. So for example, Indiana and Texas have recently enacted regulations against so-called fertility fraud, where doctors have used their own sperm to inseminate fertility patients. Mm-hmm. But even when this happens, they don't enact any larger kinds of rules that address many, many other different kinds of problems that arise that a larger agency or broader rules would be able to, like they have in other countries.
So can you give us a sense of why this is? Like, why is it that this industry is less regulated than many others?
Lawmakers and the public are wary of government involvement in reproduction. There's a fear that with increased regulation in the technology of procreation may come limits on who gets to be a parent or what kinds of children are created. And you see those kinds of restrictions in countries like France and Austria, which limit the use of these techniques to different sex married couples and exclude certain groups. And so there is some fear that any involvement may open the door to those sorts of restrictions on reproduction with all the history that comes with that. Mm-hmm. Another reason why regulation is slow in this area has to do with the peculiar history of assisted reproduction in this country. The government got out of the business of funding this medical research, and with that, a hands-off approach in how the practice proceeded.
So it doesn't sound like there's any sort of groundswell effort at a federal level or on a broader level to change this. What would you like to see happen? I mean, how would this look in your ideal world?
Lauren, you said it just right. In the absence of a groundswell effort, something like we saw more than a century ago for workers' compensation in response to employment injuries, or insurance for auto crashes when automobiles were less safe than they are today. At least at the federal level, you would need to see that kind of outpouring of advocacy on behalf of the public to overcome the barriers to regulation in this area. Otherwise, the states could take the mantle, but ideally in ways that brought more systemic change. Finally, you might have a professional regulation enforced in a way that made it matter to clinics whether they abided by the kinds of protocols and guidelines that these groups put forward.
All right, that's Dr. Dove Fox with the University of San Diego and author of Birth Rights and Wrongs, How Medicine and Technology Are Remaking Reproduction and the Law. Dr. Fox, thank you for joining us to talk about this.
Thanks so much for having me.